The gift of prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And please do hear that. It's a gift. It's not a toy to play with. It's not a trophy for being a good Christian. It's a tool to do the ministry of Jesus Christ, to follow that way of love. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit whereby we hear from God, see from God, and then communicate. Often it's just for ourselves, actually. But we then communicate what we hear and see from him to other individuals, to churches, even to nations. But we're not going to start there. You know, we can all write to Theresa May, you know, tomorrow. That's level two, okay? But we're just starting on this level because this is what I've been asked to do on today, of how do we just start in the personal prophetic? And because we're aware of the danger of getting it wrong, we need to be very clear that we see in part, we prophesy in part. We are not working from an Old Testament model which says, God says. You might hear me say God says if I'm quoting directly from scripture, but in a prophetic sense, you will not hear me say, God says. What you will hear me say is something that seems very wishy-washy and weak. Like, I sense the Lord is saying this or that. But when it is the Lord, when we offer it on the palm of our hand, there's a resonance in people's spirit. I was just praying for someone just in the break. And, you know, I said something which was not powerful to me. There was not, oh my goodness, that's God. But for the person on the receiving end, it's their spirit went, yes. And some of that was happening around the room as well, during that, the end of that session, where for some people there was clearly a powerful encounter, not because of hype or even words that I'd said, but the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the prophetic so often does. It opens up the way for the things of the Spirit. We saw that the prophetic does lots of things, but time doesn't allow to talk about rebuking or warning, or that side of things, but Paul's emphasis in 1 Corinthians 14 on encouraging, comforting, strengthening, and building up. And if that's what we try to do, even if it's from the flesh, it's powerful. And when it's of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's very powerful. And I've literally lost count over the years of people who have been connected, wired up to Jesus, because of what I thought was just a foolish word. Don't judge the words you receive by, well, that doesn't sound really powerful. I remember saying once to a young woman, I just see a picture of a flute. Now, what I do when I get something like that, that's a revelation, I ask for an interpretation and an application. So in a minute when we try this, if you get a picture in your mind or a sentence in your thoughts or a feeling in your body or whatever it is, don't just stop there. Say, Lord, what does that mean? Get a revelation. Ask for an interpretation. And the application, what do you want me to do with it? Do you want me to pray this word? Do you want me to share this word? Do you want me to hold this word, etc.? That's kind of where we got to in the first session. But now let's get into the real practicalities, because in a minute, please don't hear the voice of the Lord say, time to leave. But in a minute, we're going to break into some groups of three. I promise you this is the best bit, because you don't have to listen to me, you listen to the Lord. So much better. And we're going to find out, each one of us, that God wants to speak through us, to encourage, comfort, strengthen, and build up others. You're going to give and you're going to go receive within these groups. And I will take you through step by step. I know some of you know this, how to do this standing on your head, but there's others here that are just getting started. That's what we're here for, okay? We're going to do some group stuff. But before that, how do we hear God's voice? You tell me. Shout out. How do you know, in what way is God ever spoken to you? Any way you want to offer. Sorry, who said that? Dreams, of course. Okay, sorry. We'll go one at a time. Dreams, of course. God speaks through dreams. I want to really encourage you. Not all dreams are from God, of course. How do we know what dreams are from God and what dreams are not from God? Well, I don't know that I always know for certain, but I know that some things recur, and I know that some things take, again, have that resonance. It's like just something witnesses within my spirit that says, I've got to hang on to that. I've got to take notice of that one. I mean, some dreams are just nonsense, aren't they? It's just a flushing out of the subconscious, I think. So dreams, absolutely. Sorry, who was this? Someone said something over here. Bible, yeah. God does speak through the Bible. Of course, that begs all sorts of questions about how we interpret and so on. But absolutely, Scripture, in New Wine, we're a movement, a family of the Word and the Spirit. We need both. We absolutely do need both. We need the Word and the Spirit. But within the Word, there's this spiritual life, isn't there? Demonstrated in Jesus and in others, that God says, this is on offer. This is on offer. So the Bible says, John 10, for example, that my sheep will know the shepherd's voice. That's what the Bible tells us. But it's not limited to the words of Scripture. You know, when I had the word for the lady over here, I couldn't find that word in Scripture. It was a today in the moment word that I was sharing. But it's there, of course, that kind of example is there in the Scriptures. So yeah, the Bible, absolutely. Anyone else? Pictures. Who's that? Yes. Pictures. How many of you have ever had a picture in your mind and it turned out to be more than just you imagining something? It is the most common way that God speaks. I would say from my experience, you know, people will say, yeah, I just got this picture. And let's just imagine this. Do this little exercise with me, will you? Would you shut your eyes? Trust me, I'm a vicar. Honestly, it's going to be okay. Actually, I'm not anymore. Oh, don't trust me then. Anyway, okay. Just raise a hand when you can see what I'm describing to you as a picture in your imagination. A bowl of red strawberries. And when your hand's up, some of you got your hands up, just keep them up. That's great. If you're still struggling, imagine some cream being poured over the strawberries. That's bringing a few more hands, yeah. If you're still struggling, put a little bit of sugar on top of the cream, on top of the strawberries. They're really juicy, tasty ones. Okay, hands down. Most of the time, when God speaks, in my experience, it's no clearer than what you just saw in your imagination. Pictures are the most common way. What do you see? I see, says Amos, a bowl of fruit. And God speaks a message through that. Was that a literal bowl of fruit? Was that a bowl of fruit in his mind's eye? The point is, the most common way is that actually we see. If you take all the communications from God in and through people in the Scriptures, they're more likely to be something they saw than they heard. Seeing. So pictures, we've had dreams, which is another kind of seeing. We've had the Scriptures, of course. Any other way? Nature. Yeah, absolutely. For something like, I don't know, best part of 14 billion years, if we believe the scientists on this, people didn't have the Scriptures. Many millions of people don't have the Scriptures now. For most of human history, we didn't have the Scriptures. One of the ways that God spoke was through nature, through creation. It's there at the beginning of Romans, isn't it? That, you know, God's fingerprints are all over creation. At the age of about 20, I was not yet a Christian. I'm from Somerset, if you're wondering where the accent's from. And there I am on the Mendip Hills, and I'm sat there cross-legged being spiritual, all by myself, but not knowing who God is. And this thought just came to me, who made all this? But it was a thought that just would not go away. It was a thought that went deep. It's a thought that I just had to stop and take note of it. Nature. It's one of the most, for me, I think we've got different spiritual pathways as people, you know, different things that really help us. For me, creation, for nature itself, speaks of the Creator. Yep, good. Anyone else? Yep. Sorry? Through non-Christians. Yeah. Why not? Why not through conversation, whether those people are Christian or not Christian? Actually, if God can speak through a donkey, as he did to Balaam, then God can speak through me. That's the way I have been operating for the last 30 years. And it actually speaks through all sorts of people. All sorts of people. They may not even know that they're being used by him. But truth is truth, and grace is grace, and wisdom is wisdom. Whoever it's spoken through. Yeah, so all sorts of conversations can have an underground prophetic message. Yeah. Anyone else? Feelings, did someone say? Yeah. Yeah. We can't always trust our feelings, but feelings, and certainly feelings we might feel just in our emotions, in our guts, if you like, or even physical feelings, can be a way of speaking. If I give an example of that one, I think sympathetic pain, which may be slightly different to what you're saying, but sympathetic pain can be a way that God's speaking. So I remember being in a meeting and having a sudden pain in my left ankle. And I said, is there anybody here who needs healing for a pain in there or a problem with their left ankle? And no one responded. I thought, well, I've got that wrong. At the end of a meeting, a lady came up to me and said, I'm the left ankle. And we prayed for her. She got healed. At the time, it looked like we got it wrong. But there's also sometimes a feeling, a sense of, the Americans sometimes say, we know in our knower. You just sense something. And we need to actually recognize, and the only way we can do this is by practice, well, that might be the Lord. That might be the Lord. Remember that story of Samuel? Three times the Lord speaks. Three times he goes to Eli the priest and he says, you called? Because he just hears Samuel. And he thinks it must be Eli. So he goes off to Eli and says, you called me. And Eli has to keep sending him back and says, go back to bed. And then Eli realizes, what he thinks is natural is actually the Lord speaking to him. He says, next time he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I think it's 1 Samuel 3:9 off the top of my head. But is that I believe the Lord is often speaking. Regularly, daily, he's communicating, but we dial out what we, because we don't recognize it. And sometimes our feelings can be guides in all of this. Not always. And the only way we'll probably know the difference is by practice. Anything else? Circumstances, yeah. It's another way, absolutely, that can be. As with all these things, we can never say all circumstances. Anyone else? Yeah, books, films, yep. Yeah, yeah. It's often the poets, the artists. Those are often, you know. Who was the person, first person full, slightly different, but full of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures? Wasn't it Bezalel, who was the craftsman in the temple? Is that right? You know. All sorts of things, you know. I think we need to listen to the poets and the artists and the... And yeah, absolutely. Book covers often speak to me. One of my favorite story, expect God to speak and he'll speak in numerous ways. That's the message. Expect him to speak and he will. Don't expect him to speak and you won't spot it. It's Tuesday morning, it's early, the phone rings. That sort of hour when you know... If the phone's ringing now, we're in trouble. Something's up. I answer the phone. It's my daughter. She says, Dad, I've given birth prematurely. I'm at Gillingham special unit. You need to come now. I don't think the baby's going to survive. So my wife and I, we jump into the car And we're in West London. We have to go around the M25 to get to Gillingham. It's really slow. And all the way, all I can hear is my daughter's voice. And the fear inside of me says, when you get there, you're going to be comforting your daughter because her baby has died. That's the fear. I'm trying to pray, but I'm going from fear to faith and back to fear. And I'm flip-flopping all over the place. I'm just being honest with you. I'm with my wife. A lorry goes by. It simply says Austin Lewis on the side of the lorry. That may not be significant to you, but it was significant to us because our little baby grandson was called Austin Lewis. Now, if our little grandson was called Eddie Stobart, this would not be a miracle. I have to admit. If our little grandson was going to be called John Lewis, it wouldn't be a miracle, but Austin Lewis. And the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed him. I have called him by name, and you are mine. 2 seconds later, though, I'm going to be honest with you, I was back in doubt again, in fear. And the next lorry went by, and it simply said dove. And I remember the dove of the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus at his baptism. This is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. Back into faith. And 2 minutes later, I'm back into fear again. The next lorry that goes by, my wife spotted this, not me, just simply said healing machines. When we got to the hospital, Austin arrested, his heart stopped. They managed to get him back. They gave him a drug overdose. He managed to pull through. They said his brain or his lungs will probably bleed. He'll probably be impaired in his hearing. Well, he's now 9. He's as fit as possibly can be. I don't know if you believe in angels that drive lorries around the M25, but I do. My point is, if we're expectant, God speaks in numerous ways. Let's be attentive. Let's be awake. Let's be alert to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. We do need to test it and weigh it, and then we're going to have a go. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 19, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. How do we know when we start sharing in a moment, is this the Lord or am I just making it up? Again, you tell me. What tests would you use to say, okay, I think this is you, Lord? How do we know? If it flows, okay, so there's a flow coming from the Lord through you, and it seems to be hitting the target. There's some sort, I use the word resonance. There's some sort of receptivity that this is not, these words are loaded with more than what you could load them with. Would that be ask again? So you test it out with him directly. Yep, good, always good thing to do. Let's come into this ministry with a humility that we don't always get it right. And so we do need to go on asking. Yeah, and it's good to ask again. Thank you. Does it reflect God's truth? So is it true to Scripture as we know it and understand it? I would say to you, if you really want to get into the prophetic, get into the Bible. You know, we've got to be people of Word and the Spirit. Is it consistent with Scripture? That's an absolute one. As best as we understand Scripture, is it consistent? You know, I'm going to be ridiculous for a moment, but the Holy Spirit is not going to say, oh, the church needs more funds, go and steal it from a bank. You know, it's just not consistent with Scripture. You will be surprised how many things will be dressed up in the name of the prophetic that are clearly inconsistent with Scripture. We need to be wary of that. Anyone else? Does it bring hope? Yeah. The fruit, can I put it this way? Does the word you share, is it likely to bring fruit in their life? Hope being a primary one. Absolutely. What is the fruit of this word likely to be? Is it going to build them up in Christ? Is it going to help them love? Is it going to help them forgive? Is it going to bring them hope? Lovely. Thank you very much. Good to us in the Holy Spirit. And us, yeah, communal weighing. Absolutely. I always think of Colossians 3 verse 15, I think it is, which says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's another verse along with the one that John's quoting of, don't just test these things yourself. When I spoke to Joan, I've now got a new friend in Joan. I didn't know her name was Joan earlier on. One of the things at the break that you said to me, Joan, is that other people have said to you that they did recognize what I was sharing with you. There's something of that corporate weighing that we sense this is the Lord saying it through others as well. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's a bit like the umpire in a tennis match, you know, or when you have Hawkeye. And, you know, if you ever watch tennis, and that Hawkeye thing that tells you whether the ball was in or out. The peace of Christ, plural. If a number of your people, friends you respect in the Lord are saying, yeah, that's in, listen to it. If they're saying, no, it's out, well, listen to that as well. Test it corporately. A conviction, okay? Absolute conviction. The Spirit does give us that conviction, doesn't it? We still got to be humble with it. I was saying to someone in the break, you know, there's been a few times in my life when I was absolutely sure as I could be the Lord said this, and then it didn't happen. And we were just talking a bit, how do we work through the disappointment of that? And I have no real answer to that other than we have to have this humility somehow. And we have to understand that there's all sorts of other factors that may be going on. But yeah, let's look for that conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit that will always bring hope, never brings despair or condemnation. So sometimes we get confirmation through someone else. You think you've heard from the Lord, you're not sure, you're just holding it, as it were, lightly before him. And then in some other way, someone speaks something and it brings, gives it in a different way, and it confirms to you. Brilliant. Whole load of ways that we can hear God's voice. Does it bring good fruit? Does it sound like the sort of thing that Jesus would say? If it's directional, particularly, be very careful about how you offer it. We don't want people going off in all sorts of directions because that could be very manipulative and very abusive. In the Old Testament, the prophets said the very words of God. If they were wrong, they were stoned to death. In the New Testament, and this afternoon, that is not what we're practicing. All right? We see in part, we prophesy in part, we test everything, we weigh it. Does this sound consistent with Scripture? Will the fruit be good? Will it release hope? Does it seem good to us corporately? We go through the testing process, which is why we're going to offer it on the palm of our hands. In a moment, we're going to do it. I would really encourage you, for the sake of good practice, to avoid death, marriage, and babies. Dates, mates, and fates. I would encourage you not to do. We've all got horror stories if we've been in this ministry at all for a while. I remember in my first church, a woman prophesying over an expectant mother, "Your baby will be born blind." The baby wasn't born blind. The baby was born fine. Probably the first lady would have said, "That's because we prayed about it." But the point is it like, let's stick at this point. Does it encourage, comfort, strengthen, and build up? This is 101 stuff. There is a place, as I've said several times, for rebuking, warning, etc., etc. But let's start with the building up. So we're going to have a go. Is that okay? So we're going to have holy chaos, and we're going to learn in a different way. And the holy chaos is that you're going to find a couple of other people who you don't know very well, if at all possible. Because it's very, very difficult to prophesy genuinely, to hear God's voice for someone else, if you already know them naturally quite well. So you will be tempted to say to your friend, "We'll stick together. I don't like the idea of this." Please, can I really encourage you? Remember what I said in session one? If you do it out of a heart wanting to obey, even if it is wrong, it's called worship. I really believe that. I believe the Lord sees your heart trying to obey, trying to grow, and he says, "I love that. I love that. Have a go." You are not going to get stoned to death. And at the end of this session, well over 90% of you are going to say, the Lord either spoke through me or to me. How do I know that? Well, I don't. But from experience of doing it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, 90% plus will say that. And the other 10% of you will go, ooh. Well, let me say to the other 10%, sometimes I get nothing. Sometimes I just draw a blank. Sometimes all of heaven goes silent. And I think, what did I do wrong? And I didn't do anything wrong. Just how it was that day. Now, I hope you've got with you a Bible, because that might help. I hope you might have either a pen and paper, or on most phones, there's a recording facility, and you could record what you share with the person on their phone. Don't record it on your phone. That won't be a lot of good to them. So when you're receiving, you may want to say to them, here's my phone, would you record it on here? Write it down if you can. But try and make some sort of record of what is shared. And I'll tell you why. Because you'll want to go back to it, to test it, to weigh it, to ponder it. Please feel absolutely free in a few weeks' time if some of the words that are shared with you make no sense whatsoever, they're just empty of any impact on you at all. Feel free, ultimately, if you want to throw them in the spiritual waste bin. Okay? You do not have to receive these words. How you receive them, to what degree you receive them, is your decision. In the giving of these words, please be aware that it's not your job to make sure that the person receiving them jolly well believes them, listens to them, and obeys them. Okay? Your job is to be the postman and to deliver on the palm of your hand. Does that make sense? Remember, encourage, comfort, strengthen, edify. In a minute, when we start to do this, remember the story from Matthew 14 I spoke of in session one. You will immediately think, I'm not sure if this is me or not. I'm not sorry if it's Jesus or not. When Peter got out of that boat, he didn't know until he started walking on water that Jesus had said, come. Take it as granted that you won't be sure. Take it as a step of faith. Is that okay? You're not going to be apt. Most of the time, probably 4 or 5 times in my life, I thought, oh, I really know that's the Lord. Most of the time, it's like, I think that's the Lord. It sounds like the Lord. But we don't know. Is that okay? Failure is okay. I know I've already said that. I need to say it one more time. What I think is so sad is when we don't even try to step out. So have a go. This is a safe place. This is a safe, we're all on the same team. We're supporting each other, aren't we? Have a go. Encourage. This is a safe place. All right? So, first thing to do in your group, just give yourself a number. One of you be number one, one of you be number two, and one of you be number three. Please don't pray about it. Just do it. Okay? So we got number one, number two, and number three. Okay, number one, you are going to receive first. And just as a good sort of prayer ministry model, would you remain seated? And would number two and number three stand up, please? Gather around number one. Really, really basic stuff, forgive me, but I think it's lovely to pray for people by name. So if you don't know their name, why don't you ask their name? Okay. Good. And ask them, is it okay as we pray for you, just to lay a hand on your shoulder. Just check that with them. All that stuff, I'm sure you know about appropriate touch and all of that stuff. Please be mindful. We've always got to guard people's dignity and treat them properly. So it's just those simple things. Okay. Number one, all I want you to do is close your eyes and think of Jesus. There you are. That's not tough, is it? Just go into that place where you just want to really meet with the Lord. And number two and number three, let's pray. I'll lead you this first time very clearly as I can. We just welcome the Holy Spirit to come and lead us now. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ for good gifts of prophetic words, maybe words of knowledge, words of wisdom. We just welcome you, Spirit, to lead us now and to speak to us in Jesus' name. And we bind in the name of Jesus any attempt of the enemy to bring anything harmful into this situation. We pray for the protection that comes by the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. We welcome the Holy Spirit to lead us. Would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us eyes to see? And we're going to wait on the Lord. And just remember, you may get a feeling, a thought that won't go away, a scripture, a sentence that just goes through your mind, an impression. You might just know it in your knower. All sorts of ways, and you probably won't be sure it's the Lord. But just wait on him. We've asked in the name of Jesus for good gifts. He doesn't give bad gifts. Now let's do the toughest thing. Let's be quiet. Let's wait. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to give you very long because you'll be tempted to add to what you've got or to make something up. But so if you can stay quiet, but you can just sit down. And if you want to, if you've got some pen and paper, you might even write down. But don't share yet. Don't say anything yet. Just keep in that attitude of listening. Just asking the Lord, what does that mean? Remember, revelation, interpretation, application. We spoke last session. The Lord said something, shown something. What does it mean? What do you want me to do with it? Just go on listening for a moment. Does this sound like Jesus? Will the fruit be good? Is it consistent with Scripture? Okay, now's the time to step out of the boat. Go for it. Give you 3 or 4 minutes. On the palm of your hand, start to share with number one what you think the Lord said. Don't forget, it'd be good to record it or to write it down. It will feel weird, but have a go. We're going to pray for number one. So if number two and number three could stand up and gather around number one. Okay. Now what I want you to do, again, is just to pray back in what you felt the Lord share through you. So just pray it back in. So if the Lord gave a word about, leadership or something, just pray back into that. Whatever it might be, he may give you some more as you pray. So even as you pray, he may just speak something further into number one's life. But I will draw that to a close in just a minute or so, not very long. So start praying and blessing number one with what you feel the Lord has said to you. So I'm going to start drawing this prayer to a close. Lord, that which was from you, let it take root in number one's life and grow and bear fruit. But that which was not from you, Lord, anything that was from the flesh, I doubt it was from the devil, but anything that was not of you, let it fall to the ground and die. Would you help them to test and weigh and ponder these things in their hearts? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Don't start on number two yet. We're going to have a go again in a minute. Don't be worried if you feel like you just got a partial word. Sometimes what you'll find is that one of you gets a bit of the word, the message, and someone else gets another bit. So sometimes you'll think, oh, that's not very much, or I don't fully understand it. In the Bible, God often spoke through riddles. I'm personally very grateful that God speaks to me in riddles. That gives me a bit of wriggle room. You know, if God was to speak to me like he spoke to Moses face to face, the weight of responsibility is quite something, isn't it? Now, of course, he speaks to us certain things through Scripture. And sometimes he does speak really, really clearly. But often, I think almost as a protection for us, he speaks in a bit of a riddle. So that's how it is. You don't always know what it means, but there's often someone else who does. God seems to love this interdependence where we work together. So if you don't feel you've got the fully formulated message, don't worry. Someone else might do. Or the person receiving themselves might do. That happens as well. Just, if you get it, give it. Okay? If you get it, you think, I think that sounds like Jesus. That's consistent with Scripture as far as I know. The fruit would be good if it was true. Have a go. And see what either the person on the receiving end knows to be true. You say something, it means nothing to you. You think, oh, that's nothing. And they go, wow, their hearts break open. They begin to weep. They fall on the floor and you go, oh my goodness. It doesn't have to be like that, but you get my point. Trust the Lord in this. Right at the beginning of the afternoon, I said to you, if there's one thing I regret, I think is, you know, when it says in the Scriptures in a number of places, devote yourself to prayer. You know, I don't know what your prayer life is like. My prayer life is ups and downs. Is that true of your prayer life? You know, I don't meet many people who think, oh, I really pray well. What I know, if I was to have my 30 years of ministry, my 35 years of being a Christian again, I think I would have taken that more seriously than I did. It just seems to me if we're truly a praying people, anything's possible in Christ. And if we're not, our best efforts come to so little. And it just struck me as I looked at you, watched you listen just now, how important that is to prayer. You know, so often we've just come with we've got our stuff to say to God. And of course there's a place for that, but the importance of listening. Shouldn't prayer always be about first listening and then responding? You know, as I sit down in my little room where I sit to pray, there's two chairs, and if Jesus Christ was there in the flesh, sat opposite me, I'd be so much more interested in what he had to say to me than anything I had to say to him. And that's really what we're doing here, isn't it? We're just doing it for each other. We've got to listen. We've got to be a listening church. Just think of the potential of this gift in the leadership of churches. The direction for a church. For ministry. Let me just give you how about reaching your neighbors? I've just moved to a new city. I live in a street where I know no one. I'm not the vicar anymore. So my prayer is, Lord, I want to reach my neighbors. Go and pick up litter. Yeah, but Lord, I want to reach my neighbors. Go and pick up the litter. Yeah, but Lord, I want to reach my neighbors. I want them to know you, Lord. Go and pick up litter. So I did. Every week, not every day, but most weeks I go out with my litter picker. I live where students live, near the University of Leicester. They are really clever kids, but they don't know how to put paper in a bin. And so I do my street cleaning thing. I go up and down the street. Now, on one side of the road, I know, bar one man who's just moved in, every single person. And we're going to go out next Thursday for a drink. We live in a road called Lorne Road, and we call ourselves the Lorne Rangers. It wasn't my idea. I don't think it was of the Lord, but my point is, I think he's really got a strategy. And as I picked up litter, I got to know people. It wasn't really the answer I was looking for. I told you at the beginning, you know, it's hardly the toughest thing in the world to do, but it's not always easy to hear the voice of the Lord. Yeah, as I said to my wife, where do you want to live? By the sea. Oh, let's go to Leicester then. You know, it's not always easy, but he's always got a way. Joshua, do you see that place there, Jericho? I want you to take it. How do you want me to take it, Lord? You know, surprise attack at night? No, I want you to walk around the walls once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day go around seven times and blow the trumpets. Really, Lord? He's got a way. He's got a strategy. Isn't prayer always, first and foremost, Lord, what are you saying? What's your way? His ways are not our ways. It's only a little example, but just beginning to see that as we take little steps of obedience to what we think the Lord is saying, how he opens things up. Sometimes it feels really foolish. Surely God speaks a bit about angels and archangels and chariots of fire and, you know, heavenly choirs and thunderstorms. No, go and pick the litter up. Get my point? It can feel pretty foolish and pretty normal and pretty silly. But it can be the Lord. I want to find out a little bit about what the Lord was doing and just make one or two final comments. General comment as you're finding your seat. Often we start with a little and the Lord gives us more as we go on. Never hold back just because you either don't understand fully or because you think you've only got a little. God loves to add to that as you step out. Secondly, I noticed, as with everywhere else I go, we love to pray with our eyes shut. And that does help us concentrate and not be distracted. But sometimes as we're praying and speaking, the Lord begins to minister, and that also can help us to hear from him. I don't mean reading people, but I do mean being able to just bless what we see God doing already. You know, a sense of God's peace comes on someone. You know, you can begin to bless that, and then it opens you up to what the Lord wants to speak into their lives about bringing his peace. We can follow through what we actually physically see the Lord doing. So just be aware of praying. You know, be ready to keep your eyes open at times to pray, because you never know what you might see. Remember taking a team member to the Chinese church in London, and I taught him to keep his eyes open when he prayed, but he didn't. He got to the front of the church and he said, "Come, Holy Spirit," with his eyes shut. Every single person, I think, bar none, every single person fell to the floor. And Jeff was still there with his eyes shut, his hands up, "Come, Holy Spirit." And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Jeff, I think he might have come." You never know what's happening. So, do keep your eyes open. But now, having said all of that, would you please shut your eyes? So I want to ask you something. I only want you to answer honestly, not for the sake of the people around you, but so I can see what's happening. If you either gave a word that seemed to hit the target, or received a word that spoke to you in some way to build you up, just raise a hand. Okay, please put your hand down. You can open your eyes. I said to you earlier on that I guaranteed is pretty much that 90% of you plus would put your hands up to say you either gave or received a word of encouragement. Well, there's always got to be the first time when that doesn't happen. I wonder when it will be. It wasn't today. That was that was above 95%. I'm told that some of you really know what you're doing with this, but that some of you are just starting out. God showed up and spoke through you and to you to encourage you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to build you up in Christ. Isn't that what church should be? Wouldn't it be great if tomorrow you came to church, all five services? Is it five services? Four, thank goodness. Having said that, if the Lord really turns up in great power, five would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great? Whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, how about you come tomorrow ready to share a word with someone? The only way we move from immaturity to maturity that I know is to practice. Is that right? My youngest son is called Simeon. It means he who listens. That's my own personal joke, thank you. If only he did, but no, he's great. I remember Simeon coming at 3 years of age with a drawing. He said, "Dad, I've done a drawing for you." "Oh, Sim, thanks." I said, I had no idea what it was. You know, it's a three-year-old thing. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Dad, it's upside down." I turned it around the right way. I still had no idea what it was. So I said again, "Sim, what is it?" He said, "That's a football, that's a goal, that's the player." And he explained all this. And what did I do? It was no work of art. I had no idea what it was. What did I say? I said what you said. I said, "That's fantastic, Sim. It's amazing." What did I do with it? I put it up on the fridge so we could all admire this amazing work of art. You know, now he's 20 next week. You know, if he did that drawing now, I'd be pretty, you know, not impressed. My point is, we only grow in any skill, any gift, by practice. Yeah? And we're so frightened in the church of getting it wrong. We don't need to be. If it was Old Testament stuff, yeah. If we're going to get stoned to death, yeah. But we're not. We need to actually have some mess. I'm sure this is true here. Permission is given, isn't it, to try? Permission is given to step out of the boat and have a go. Yeah, Peter got wet. But I can't help believing that at the end of the day, when they got to shore, it was like, you guys really need to know what it's like to walk on water. Yeah? They might be dry, but they hadn't had what Peter had. We've got to release this permission giving to ourselves. I mean, I've been disappointed. In the healing ministry, I've been heartbroken, haven't you? Heartbroken because you thought the Lord was going to heal someone and they didn't. Heartbroken. And what do you do with it? Well, all I know is to carry on doing what I think the Lord said to do. Trusting him. I haven't got all the answers. As I go along, I've got more questions. But I know this. If we keep pressing into this, keep leaning in, keep saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to go on, we grow. And God turns up. I mean, I already know from just talking to a few of you and praying for a few of you and watching, I've seen people encounter Jesus this afternoon. Not because of me, but because of you and because of him. We've got this sense, haven't we? We've got to get it all understood and all neat and tidy. And I think my plea is, let's not do that. As John Wimber once said, it's tidy and ordered in the graveyard. You know, the graveyard is, that's pretty ordered. But wherever there's God and he's dynamic and he's full of love and he's always on the move and he's creative, and he's imaginative, he's so abundant in all his doings and dealings with us, isn't he? There's going to be a little bit of mess as we human beings stumble along behind him trying to grow in these things. But let's go for it. Not so that we have a good time in church, but so that the people of Whitney and wherever you're from encounter Jesus Christ. Encounter Jesus. That conference I told you about at the beginning of the day, my friend and Mike and I, we went from that conference, and on our way back to where we were staying, we met this young woman hitching a lift, and we talked with her and we prophesied into her life, and none of it seemed to be right. And we took her to where she was staying and left her. And the next day, my friend Mike, we were back at the conference, he said, if we go now, this young woman, Liz is her name, she'll be waiting for us on the same spot on the M1 where we'd seen her the day before. He said, let's go now. So we left the conference and we went, and there she was. And every prophetic word we'd shared with her, which she had not let on the day before, were right. They were right. And we took her to a wimpy bar on Cricklewood Broadway. And she gave her life to Jesus Christ because two crazy guys had just shared what they felt the Lord was saying. And she got connected to Jesus. She got connected to Jesus. Isn't that what we want? Didn't that happen to Nathaniel in John chapter 1? Didn't that happen to the woman at the well in John chapter 4? This isn't give us spiritual gifts so we can have some fun. This is, give us spiritual gifts so we can follow the way of love. And I'd say, there's no other way than being a charismatic Christian. That we have to be a people of the Spirit as well as the Word. In fact, if we're a people of the Word, we have to be a people of the Spirit. Because the Word is full of people of the Spirit. And it's messy. And I don't understand, and we get disappointed, and we get heartbroken. My first vicar, very first vicar, before I went to where both Simon and I were curates for John Coles, but before then, my first vicar said to me, don't do that charismatic stuff, Mark, the people will get disappointed. I knew at that point I'd made a wrong decision. Because how disappointed are the people going to be? Worse than disappointed if we don't help them connect with Jesus Christ. This is hugely missional. But the word I prefer really is follow the way of love. Follow the way of love. Eagerly, zealously, lustfully, if you like, seek spiritual gifts. especially the gift of prophecy. Some people say to me, I'm open to the Holy Spirit. I said, well, that's not good enough. The Bible doesn't say be open to the Holy Spirit. It says eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I would love to pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your words into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you take us in our weakness, our vulnerability, and even our foolishness, and you speak in us, through us, and despite us. You are so good. Would you release across this group now, for some, just a new chapter in life, of saying, Father, what are you doing? I want to join in with you. For another group, Lord, would you break off them the disappointment of false starts or true starts that have stopped? Would you break off every lie, really, of the enemy that has said, give up on that stuff and do it a different way? Would you renew each one of us in that desire to follow the way of love? Would you release what's already within us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they may be tools for doing the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, that the lost would be found, that the broken would be healed, that the sick would know that Jesus Christ is the great physician, that we would walk in your ways, that you would give us direction, that we might walk into the good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. Come, Spirit of the living God, seal your work within us. Let nothing be lost, and maybe tomorrow, Lord, that we would come with a word to encourage, comfort, or strengthen someone in Christ. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd release dreams. I pray, Lord, you'd release visions. I pray, Lord, you would show people to us. I pray, Lord, you put burning heart messages on our hearts. I pray, Lord, you'd help us hear the whispers of God and say, Lord, I'm taking that. And I'm offering it as my worship to you. And Lord, as there have been encounters with you across this room this afternoon, may there be tomorrow in every service. Come, Holy Spirit. Let there be such an outpouring of love, such an outpouring of encouragement, such an outpouring of grace, of truth, of hope. Come, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.